Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to project the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us at another Money Show. Just what the Valley needs, another Money Show. I'm J.R. Rochford, and also with me today is
Anthony Correo.
Oh, look at that. He's got his name down. We're doing good.
And I hope that's the hardest question you ask me today, because I was like, I don't know if I'm prepared. I don't know if I can do this one.
You can do it. You can do it. You're having a great day. So, and let's introduce Sam. We have the best producer, I think, on the planet. Is that right, Sam? Can we give you a testimonial?
I will absolutely take it. You know, I'm feeling great today, and that compliment just sent me over the top. But welcome back to another Money Show, and I'm glad everybody enjoyed last week, and we're gonna bring it back again with episode two.
Well, and thank you for being here for our first show. I know we got a little bit of the nerves out of the way and got to introduce ourselves a little bit. Today we're gonna be a little bit more structured. We're gonna talk a little bit more and give you a little bit of an idea how to make your way through the financial maze we all deal with. So today we discussed a theme for today, and today's theme is going to be proactive versus reactive. We've always felt like if you're managing somebody's health or their money, you have to take it seriously. You have to do what's right. You have to really be proactive over reactive. So
you don't want to make changes to your portfolio after it's down 20%. You're saying that's not the right time to make changes.
Okay, let's say I get my house burglarized. What's the first thing I do? Who's the first phone call I make after the police and the other family members? I call the alarm company. What if we were smart enough to set up the alarm system, set up the cameras, put the yard sign up before the burglary? So that's all we're trying to do here.
It seems pretty smart. It seems like a good idea.
Yeah, so let's get into it. The first thing we want to talk about general finances. We want to talk about how to be proactive in a world that is unchartered, uncertain at the very least. I mean, obviously, we had a little market correction. Now we're having a little market rebound. The fact of the matter is, with all the different influences around us, nobody really knows what direction this is going to play out over the next weeks, months, years. So we need to make sure, you know, we don't want you running for the hills. We don't want you to read a headline and cash everything out. But we do want you to be awake, be aware, be nimble. We want you to have options if things do get sketchy, what you're going to do about it. What's your plan? So basically, if you're working, you have a 401k. If you're not working, you have mutual funds, variable annuities, whatever you own, they're your money. Whether you have an advisor or not, whether you're a do-it-yourself person, this is your money. You have the most responsibility for it. So we thought we'd give you a couple ideas on smart ways to handle your accounts, how to handle your 401k. Anthony, tell us, give us a little idea what you would do if you had a 401k right now.
Well, a lot of people just kind of set it and forget it. They have no idea what their funds are. Somebody told them, you know, you're going to have a target date fund. When do you want to retire? 2040. All right, so we're going to put you 100% into the 2040, and you're going to set it and forget it, and they're going to make changes throughout the year. So what they do is, as you're younger, the further the target date is out, it's more aggressive. As you get closer to that fund, or that date, I should say, they change the funds around. They go more bond heavy versus, you know, being in securities, being in stocks, because in theory, bonds are supposed to be safer. Bonds are almost a bigger bubble than the stock market is right now. So that's a conversation for another day. But what people don't know is, again, you can go through, you can make changes to your 401k, but by law, you have to have at least three funds. Most companies have 10, 20. We've seen some companies, you've got 100 funds in your 401k. But one of them has to be a safe bucket, has to be something like a money market, a stable value fund, short-term bonds, something safe where if the market takes a massive turn out of nowhere, then you're not going to lose as much money, but you're also not going to gain as much money. It's not meant to really do much except for to hold your funds as is. So in 2008, 2007, 2009, when everybody were losing so much money in the market and in their 401ks, you know, would that have been nice if they knew, oh, there is a safe bucket. There's something that I could have done to safeguard my money. And we've heard a lot of people that had no idea. I mean, this is, they lost money 14 years ago and still haven't made changes to their 401ks. So now we're trying to tell people, you know, if it's something you're worried about, you know, just like I think we brought up last week, you know, our job as advisors, if there's a downturn in the market, oh, it's just a paper loss, you'll be fine. You know, you haven't really lost the money, it'll come back. Well, you have 14-year run up in the market. It's just a paper gain. So if you want to safeguard some of those gains, what you can do is you can move money in your 401k, move it around. It's your current contribution. Say you've got $100,000 in your 401k and you're still putting in money every week, every 2 weeks, however your company does it. Well, something you can do is you can take that $100,000 and put it in something like a stable value fund, a money market, you know, whatever it is that your employer offers. And then you can leave your future contributions at risk. So you can still be putting money towards growth, but you've safeguarded the money that you have, especially if you're, you know, nearing retirement and you're worried about things going around. You're like, oh.
So the old buy and hold. I mean, a lot of people, they don't know enough to make changes. You know, I've seen 401ks where you can pay, there's a little spread or a little fee, and you get some active management. In general, we don't see those. We see where it's the employee's job to manage their own 401k. Well, whatever you do for a living, that's what you focus on. That's what you study. That's what you learn. And also now you're a financial advisor for your own future. So it seems kind of weighted against the employees to me. So, and obviously we don't know how many different kinds of people are listening to us. So we can't give specific advice, but our general advice, make sure you know what you have.
Yeah, you know, at least know what the options are.
Yes. And if you need help, get help. Ask people for a little bit of help. It is your money. It is important. You know, the financial markets, you know, some of the things that people learn are shocking. You know, if you hear the benchmark markets, there's the Russell, there's the S&P. Let's talk about the Dow Jones for a minute. The Dow Jones Industrial Average. That's probably the main market people talk about. You see on the bottom of your TV, the little red and the little green tickers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average. Other than Anthony and Sam on this call, I'll bet nobody knows how many companies are in the Dow. They call them components. That's the name for the companies. Anthony, what is your guess? How many companies are in the Dow Jones Industrial Average?
1,000.
Sam, give me a guess. Anthony says 1,000.
I'm going to say around 400. I know, like, off the top of my head, the top, you know, highest weighted companies, but I don't know the amount. So 400.
Well, wait till you hear this.
But do you really not know? I was just joking about the 1,000. Sam, is that something that you've never learned before?
I don't know how many different ones are in the Dow. I know some of them are, you know, some indexes are a few hundred companies. Some are thousands of companies. So tell me the answer.
This is going to be exciting.
This is the kind of stuff that we want to bring to people. It's not common knowledge. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 30 companies. 30 big blue chip, large cap companies. I would say potentially even beholden to the government, stock buyback, stock repurchasing, you know, offshore accounts, tax breaks. Anthony, if a component, AKA a company, underperforms what it, you know, is supposed to do, what do they do with it?
They get it out of here.
Get out of here.
So, yeah. So imagine that. Imagine the benchmark that we all judge, you know, the market. Because when we refer to the market, it's typically the Dow Jones. It's 30 companies. And our benchmark, if something doesn't perform, they get rid of it. How do you have that as a benchmark? How do you judge the entire financial system on 30 companies, but only if they're performing?
All right, so I'm playing a football game. It's the fourth quarter, last couple minutes, and I'm not doing that great. Can I take players from other teams and bring them in? Can I swap out the players I think are tired and underperforming and put in players from other teams?
Well, you're playing in the Little League World Series and you're down by 2 runs. Now we bring in Bryce Harper, Albert Pujols, you know, we're bringing up Willie Mays out of retirement. Like, that's what this is. It's like, oh, well, we're not doing so great. let's move better people in.
So, and what's the answer to this? I mean, Sam, you brought up weighted averages. What I believe we should use as a benchmark, let's take a mix. Let's take the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, the Russell 2000, and the Dow Jones, and let's use a weighted average from all of those. Let's get more a fair representation of our country and our world.
So, I think, the S&P has like 80% of the market share? I think it's something close to that. I mean, the S&P is probably our best bet to look at the market as an entire whole.
But yet, the one that people are most looking at is the Dow Jones. So
and that's for good reason. It's easier to manipulate.
Well, and it's easier to understand. People have heard the companies, so it's easier for people to grasp. So back to being proactive, our whole goal is to make sure you get ahead of this stuff before. You know, if we have another 2008, we want you to at least have options and know what to do about it. So
here's the thing. I feel like all these 401k companies have people that you should be able to call that can talk about options and give advice. You know, I worked multiple engineering jobs, multiple 401ks. I never remember getting that information. So if you don't have that information, you don't know who to go to, give us a call at 623-523-0444. Number again is 623-523-0444. And we'll help educate you on what your options are, how your 401k works, and, you know, give you all that knowledge that you may not already have.
But will we charge you? Is there any minimums? Tell us more, Anthony.
Oh, we don't charge. Not to look over 401ks, not to sit down and ask questions. We're just here to be a resource for you guys. And you can also find us at team@anothermoneyshow.com as our email, right? Yeah, I'll make sure. The email's new, so I don't know that one yet. I have to have it spelled out for me. So team@anothermoneyshow.com. If you want to talk to this team at Another Money Show, you can reach us at team@anothermoneyshow.com.
So, and after the break, we're going to get into inflation. Today, we've got topics that are a little bit heavy, but we want to make sure we talk about what you're asking us.
Are you concerned about market volatility, rising taxes from the Biden administration, and how it could affect your retirement? Then listen to Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. Learn how you can reduce the taxes you pay before and during retirement. Another Money Show every Saturday at 4 p.m. on 960 The Patriot. Schedule your free, no-obligation consultation now by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444.
Welcome back. I'm J.R. Rochford, and I'm with Anthony Correo and Sam Davis. We are all about money. We're another money show. You know, last week we talked about 10 pillars. I know we kind of buzzed through that, but I do each week we're going to go through the 10 pillars. I do want to list them for you again real quick. The first one being debts and deficits. Second one is financial markets. We just talked about that a little bit in the first segment. Third one is taxes. Fourth is inflation. Fifth is healthcare. Sixth, unfunded and underfunded liabilities. Think Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Seventh is the erosion of middle class. I know most people that talk to us, most people we deal with, they're solidly in the middle class. So that's more of our focus.
Yeah, but where will their kids be? Will their grandkids be?
That's why we're here. Our whole thing. I mean, we're trying to help one couple, one person, one family at a time. We're trying to ensure generational wealth transfer. We're trying to make sure we better people's situation on a level that we're capable of doing. So, amen. So next is social media. It's really social media has changed the landscape of this country politically, any way you can think of. So social media, and this all definitely ties into your money. So number nine is geopolitical missteps. If you're following along, you know, they're just pointing to us right now to Ukraine and Russia. What they're not really talking about is China, Taiwan, Iran, North Korea. The entire world is a little bit uncertain right now. So, and when people point us a certain direction, That's great. We should know what's going on, but we should also see the big picture. We should also keep our eye on the rest of the world too. So
I feel like if you're listening to 960 The Patriot, you're probably well aware of the geopolitical mishaps going on.
True, true. We spent a lot of time listening to different shows, and you're definitely getting news here. When they say intelligent talk, boy, you're getting it here. So hopefully we add to it. A little bit of a financial slant, but hopefully we add to it. So, and lastly, the 10th pillar, you know, God forbid it happens in our lifetimes, well, in any lifetimes in this country, but, you know, people ask us, could there possibly be a civil war? You know, that's a real heavy one. We don't like to think about that, but when you look at the polarization and the division, and I mean, I have to give some of that credit to social media. You know, we get to fight with each other and then just cut somebody off as soon as they disagree. If somebody has a rebuttal, defriend them, unfriend them, see you later.
It's not a conversation politically anymore. It's I have my opinion and I'm right. You have your opinion and you're wrong, and there's no in between.
And you're my daughter, so can you imagine what I think about my neighbors? So not good.
But you haven't even kicked me out yet. I'm still a loving part of the family.
It's the second
still
show.
Your favorite daughter.
By next Saturday, we'll have a new co-host for me, Sam. Don't worry.
I can wear a wig.
So let's jump in. We're not necessarily going to follow the pillars in order, obviously, but let's get the most important ones out of the way today. Let's start with the most important ones. We talked about the market. We talked about volatility and potential pitfalls. The next thing that we get a lot of questions on is inflation. And it's interesting because I'm not sure if inflation in general is all that problematic yet. You know, I hear people complaining about their gas prices. I hear very little about food prices. I read that it's problematic. We're just not hearing it yet. So we think it's still somewhat at bay. The question is, can it get worse? I mean, when people say that we're at a 40-year high with inflation levels, that sounds like we should all be hunkering down. I mean, it sounds like we should change our travel plans. We should stop eating. We should, you know, get under the radar. We're not seeing that yet.
No, where did we go the last couple of weeks? Firebirds. I've been at Firebirds a couple of times, and it's packed every single time we've been there.
Got a little plug for Firebirds. When we reach out for sponsorship, guess what, Firebirds? We're coming to you first. Well, after Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman, we're coming to you, Firebirds. So, and with, yeah, everywhere you go and all these places are packed, it's like we're in this great resignation, so there's not enough bodies to cover shifts, and people are changing hours and days, and boy, we see the demand. We certainly think everything should be open like normal, but so.
All these fast food places, I think everybody's gotten used to the drive-through. So if they don't have to hire somebody to be a cashier up front, you know, to clean tables and stuff, I'm seeing a lot of places, they're just closing their dining rooms altogether. I mean, when was the last time a Chick-fil-A was open?
Huh. I haven't been to Chick-fil-A in a while, but that's interesting. Yeah, we did. We went to Sandy and Jay, and I went to an Arby's a couple Saturdays ago. Don't judge me and my health thoughts. So we went to an Arby's, and we counted 6 employees, and yet the dining room was closed. So we asked about it, and they just said that there's an employee shortage.
Huh? Sam, okay. Are you seeing that out in Atlanta too?
Yeah, about everywhere I go, restaurant-wise, thinking food service, I feel like they're understaffed. And I feel like it's been that way since restaurants reopened. I'm located in Georgia in the Atlanta area. And so around like fall 2020 is when things kind of started reopening around here, and they've been experiencing understaffing pretty much ever since.
Yeah. I think it's everywhere. If you're listening to this in any part of the country, I feel like you're going through the same stuff we are.
Well, and how it ties in with inflation, you know, first of all, with inflation, what if we ever went towards hyperinflation? If you look at other countries, I know the most famous example recently is Venezuela. This country, I think we'd panic. I don't think we could handle it. And I'm talking about at the onset of it. So it could get real heavy. We don't want to focus on hyperinflation here because it's something that we don't see as extremely likely anytime soon. And with inflation, by the way, do you realize that they exclude food and energy? You know, the one thing that pretty much all of us do is eat and drive, and yet they're not using those numbers. What would the real inflation rate be if we put in food and energy?
Well, they change how they calculate the CPI every few years, but it's always feels like it's taking out more stuff that's realistic. I mean, well, how else do you keep it to 2% inflation for the last decades? Well, you change the scale.
right?
What? Wait, isn't that what they do with the Dow Jones too? How do you keep looking at the Dow Jones as up? Oh, you swap out the companies.
So, and with manipulation, with the fear of inflation getting worse, what do you do about it? I mean, we want to bring problems just so you're aware of them, but we also want to bring solutions. We don't want to leave you hanging on what to do. You know, one of the things that we recommend, stock up. Anything with a long shelf life, you know, think soap, shampoo, rice and beans, get things now. I mean, we do presume they're going to cost more in 6 months or a year. So stock up. Can't really do that with ice cream per se, but you can do it with beans and rice.
Well, so, toilet paper. Now it's on the shelves again. Now right? You stop. Or you buy a bidet. We already talked about that.
Yes. Buy a bidet. It's a hard asset, which we're going to talk about in the next segment. But so when I talk about stock up, you know, we really, this country, we, from what I hear, we have a 2 to 3 day stock. So talk to a truck driver. If you want to get nervous about supplies, talk to a truck driver. So we are, once again, be proactive over reactive.
And we are going to talk about that a lot more in the next segment. So tune in. Phone number is 623-523-0444. Number again is 623-523-0444. If you have any questions on anything we've talked about today, please reach out.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest, if any exist.
Welcome back from the commercial break. You are listening to another Money Show on 960 The Patriot with your hosts, J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. We are just talking about inflation a little bit and then possibly hyperinflation. But J.R. doesn't really think you need to worry about inflation as much as you probably think you need to worry about it because of the trucks and the supply chain. Tell us a little bit more of your thoughts on that one.
Well, let me give you an example. If soap is $3 a bar today, and then next week it's $4 a bar, and then next month it's $5 a bar, the problem isn't that you're going to be thinking it's too expensive, I can't afford it. It's going to be gone. You're not going to get it. It's not going to be on the shelves at any price. So when that happened with toilet paper, it made me think, what if that happens with food? What if that happens with deodorant, soap, shampoo? So my thinking about the truck driver, it's like, yeah, we have to be proactive, not reactive.
Yeah, if we've only got a couple days of materials on the shelves, you know, all the supply chain issues we've had for the last 2 years, if you can't get stuff, if stuff's going to last, you know, years and years, why not just stock up now? And we're not saying go overboard or anything, but just like a few extra, you know, just a little bit. Moderation. Everything in moderation, I think, is going to be a key point of this show.
I'm taking notes. So mortgage my home to buy Irish Spring. Got it.
I'm gonna convert all of my assets into bars of soap. You'd be like a Scrooge McDuck, but instead of a pool of gold coins, just soap bars.
Nice. Well, and soap is a hard asset. So when you go from inflation to what to do about it, you know, a lot of people's first thought, they jump to gold and silver, which is another hard asset. And we could spend an entire show just on gold and silver. You know, one question I have for the people that are heavily into gold and silver, if the reason you bought it, obviously money moves for two reasons, fear or greed. So when gold goes to $20,000 an ounce, what are you going to do with it? You can't eat it. I mean, the reason it'll go to 20,000 an ounce is because the dollar does devalue. The world reserve currency does change. You know, this country becomes a little less relevant in the world. So you have all this gold and silver. What are you going to do with it? I almost think sometimes people need to be careful because it makes them a target. You know, the first thing I would do is make sure you have a team in place. Make sure you know other people that can kind of band together. You know, when you look at a hedge against inflation, gold has always been a store of value. It's you actually own something tangible, but you have to really think about why you're getting it. You know, the other part with gold and silver, how many people have it? You know, when people talk about, well, you know, if the system does get sketchier, if it collapses, I'm going to have hard money. Yeah, but only what percentage? I would love to find out if it's 20%. You know, how many people in this country have gold and silver? If 80% don't have it, you're not really going to get that far with bartering unless you're in a little community of the 20%.
Yeah, so it's really hard to buy a little bit of rice and a little bit of beans and a little bit of whatever, you know, you need to survive on with a massive gold coin.
Right?
You're going to be able to buy. So everything you buy is in $20,000 increments at that point.
Correct. Well, and what's the answer to everything here? Stocking up now. You know, I mean, for me, a hard asset, I think big picture, you know, you should have some gold and silver. Obviously, depending on who you are, we're not giving you specific recommendations, but have some gold and silver. Have some guns and ammo if that's your thing. You know, even if you don't drink or smoke, have some alcohol and tobacco. Have stuff you really could barter with reasonably.
Oh, what's, you know, your favorite example for the, you know, of precious metals, lead being the number one?
Lead is a good idea for precious metals. And you know what? Really, think about when we make jokes about a bidet. If there's no toilet paper, we need a bidet. If there's no food, you need a hydroponic garden. You need ways to get around things if they get really weird. Boy, this is taking a heavy turn, hasn't it? And I'll tell you what, if we talk about this stuff and it never happens, so what? It's interesting. You know, I'm a Boy Scout. If I have it and I don't need it, so what? But if I need it and I don't have it, I have a problem. So
yeah,
a
lot hard of assets, hedge against inflation. So you buy it now, you never end up needing it. If it's something that never goes bad, you get rid of it. Things go back to normal. Bright, sunshiny day. Everything's good. You get rid of it. You sell it. But it held that value for that time being. So we are going to close up this segment. We are going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to talk a little bit about the banks, probably a little bit more about hard assets, because I feel like there's more to know about that. But if we piqued your interest, if you need anything, have any questions, please give us a call, 623-523-0444. Number again is 623-523-0444, or you can catch us online at rochfordfinancial.com.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house.
I would buy you a house.
And if I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million.
You're with Anthony and JR, hosts of Another Money Show. So we were just talking about hard assets, and that's going to be a theme in a lot of these episodes moving forward. We're big on hard assets for a number of different reasons. But let's talk about why they're so important. There's a reason why we think the way we think. You know, the whole process of the show is we want you to see all the other stuff that you're not hearing, you know, on the main news, you know, all the stuff going on behind the scenes. And our biggest player, and the thing that one of the things we're afraid of the most that's not the stock market, is the banks. Aren't they supposed to be the safest place to hold your money, JR? I thought that was, you know, you could always trust them. Nothing ever goes wrong with the banks, right?
Well, especially we're officed out of Sun City, Arizona, where, I mean, that's a lot of people. They're just, their whole lives have been banking products, CDs and savings. And it's, things may not be as they appear. We don't have any inside information. We don't have any, you know, proof of the stuff we're saying. Whoa, wait a minute. Maybe we do. You know, one of the things we tell people to do, go on FDIC.gov. Notice how there's a pause for effect there. Go on FDIC.gov and start poking around. Just start reading. Just start reading about bank solvency. Start reading about what is in charge of the banks. You know, first of all, break it down. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the federal people, are they the same people that are $30 trillion in debt?
Yeah, that's usually how that works, right?
So, and they're in charge of my money at the bank? Or the
they're the backup, right? The banks are too big to fail, so they can do whatever they want. But just in case they get extra greedy and screw things up for everybody, like they did in 2008. You know, just a one-time thing, because obviously they've learned their lesson and there haven't been any other lawsuits or, you know, scandals with the banking industry. So they're all set. But the backup is the federal government, which is, you know, $30 trillion in debt.
So, and when you think about banks, I mean, there's really, when you open up a savings account, checking account, money market, it used to be a legal size triplicate form that you had to sign, white, yellow, pink form. And it basically, it was so long, nobody's ever read one. Probably two people on the planet actually read one. And sadly enough, I'm one of them. But it, part of what it says is you give me your money. I, as a bank, am going to use it how I deem fit. Mortgages, reverse mortgages, business loans, credit cards, whatever I deem fit, I'm going to use your money for. And then I give you my word that I will promise to assure you that I will try to give it back to you when you want it. And I would say, go to a bank right now. Ask for money. It's your money, right? I mean, it's my money. So I want 20 grand. I have $60,000 in the bank and I want 20 grand. Tell me how it goes. Let me know if they're asking you questions. First of all, if they ask me what I'm going to do with it, my gut feeling is, well, that's really none of your business. I mean, it still is a free country as far as I understand. The problem is there's a lot of, I don't know how to really articulate it. It seems to me like there's a lot of restrictions. There's a lot of chance that things are fishy. So back to the FDIC.gov. I poked on there a little bit last night. Last time I looked at how much insurance there is, it shocked me. And this is going back about 2 years ago. So I thought certainly this was a virus-driven enigma. So here's how it works. If you have over $250,000 in an account, it's called uncovered. You need to keep your account. You can have several accounts with different titling, but you need to keep your accounts under $250,000 a account. And that's so you have this insurance coverage in case the banks prove not to be too big to fail. You know, what if we have a modern day run on the banks and everybody starts getting nervous and they start pulling their money? These banks don't have any money. It's not like it was in the 40s and 50s where there's these canvas burlap bags with dye packs and, you know, there's
you're
a big
coming in with a Tommy gun and right, you know, driving your Model A, not Bonnie and Clyde in it anymore.
Yeah, those days are gone. So everything's digital, everything, we're going cashless. I mean, obviously we're going that direction. And, you know, I know we need to talk about digital currency sooner or later, but today's not the day. So basically, if there's a modern day run on the banks, you know, you have to familiarize yourself with the term bail-in. When banks were too big to fail, we used printing, we used tax dollars, and we kept the banks open. If we have another 2008, 9, beginning of 2010, if things go that direction again, we worry a little bit that the banks could close their doors. You know, so then when you look for reassurances, you go on FDIC.gov, and a couple of years ago, I found that the covered amount, so the accounts that were under $250,000, had a coverage amount of 1.4%. Yes, you heard me correctly. So I did the right thing. I opened up a few different accounts if I had, you know, big money. So my personal account that has under $250,000, if there's a modern day run in the banks, we have a bank holiday, the banks close their doors, you're telling me the insurance pool that gives me the warm and fuzzies covers me up to 1.4%. I'm going to tell you,
$1,000, you have $14 in insurance.
Correct. And I'm going to come in and tell you the 1.4% is gone. As of last night, when I looked, it's 1.27. So it's gotten even a little bit worse. I'm not sure why. I'm not really going to dig in far enough to know why. I just know that the warm and fuzzies, we should have a little bit of a concern.
So that's insurance, right? That's added. It's in the background. It's there for, you know, safeguarding should your bank fail. You know that they spent seven quarters in 2009 to, I think it was 2011, where the FDIC actually had negative money. They only had liabilities. So when we're talking about this reserve ratio of 1.27, there's times where they have no money at all. I mean, we talk about all the time, like money doesn't really exist. There's no real money out there because all of a sudden you've got broke bailing out, broke bailing out, broke. And JR talked about a bailout which is what we saw in 2008. And that's where banks run out of money. The government steps in and gives them even more of the money that they don't have. But you said bail in recently. What is a bail in?
Well, if you want to research it, the most recent, most famous example is Greece. Look at the country of Greece. You know, basically on a Monday morning, people went to their bank and the banks were closed. Out of their ATM machine, they could only get 60 euros a day. At the time, 60 euros was in the same range of dollars. So what if you showed up to your bank? And by the way, you're not safe at a credit union either. I mean, these are financial institutions. So what if you show up to your financial institution, the door is closed and there's a sign on it saying, don't panic, use the ATM, and you get to the ATM and you can only get $60 a day. I think that we may panic. I mean, I don't care if I have 6,000, 6 million, whatever. If it's my money, I want to have access to it. And like you said, we're not quite sure there's all the money that in the system we think there is. There's a bunch of lines and zeros, but maybe not a bunch of money. So, and this does all tie into hard assets. You know, if you're worried about the banks, what do you do about it? So hard assets are a good start. What do we do in normal times, Anthony? I mean, if let's say the banks do have a bail-in, but it's not for 10 years. So for the next 10 years, I still have to deal with the fact that at the bank, I'm getting 0.01% of my money. 0.08 if it's high yield, big, huge money. What? Give me an idea what to do with that.
Well, for starters too, you know, keeping with the hard assets, have a little cash at home. You know, you're not losing anything to the bank. I heard a joke recently about the bank interest rates are like a blood alcohol content, but don't worry, you're not going to DUI because it's not high enough. So keep a little cash at home. Have access to your money should things get weird. But banks are a necessary evil. You have to pay your bills for them. You're not writing, you know, you're not sending cash to places. You're not paying your mortgage in cash anymore. So you have to have a bank. So if you're going to have a bank, why aren't you going to a place that makes you the most interest possible? So what we're seeing is a lot of these credit card companies, Discover, Capital One, USAA, the big insurer, they've got an online bank. Ally, the old GMAC, is an online bank. A lot of these places are giving significantly higher interest than what you're getting at the brick and mortar, you know, the Chase, the B of A, the Wells Fargo, just because they don't have all the overhead and all of the locations and all the staff that all these other banks do. So they can afford to give you slightly higher interest rates. But you don't have to, we're not saying, you know, get rid of your brick and mortar, keep your brick and mortar, transfer it back and forth as you need money. But if you have money sitting in a savings, why aren't you having it somewhere that's at least going to pay you something? I mean, interest rates are low right now, but when they do start creeping back up, what do you think is going to creep up faster? The brick and mortar, which are practically zero, or these other banks where you're making, you know, 0.5%-ish, I think, right now.
Well, and a couple of things for you. When people ask us about all this with the banking, you know, we're always, our goal is to have you prepared, not scared. When we talk about proactive versus reactive, that's our job. You know, when you recommend people keep cash at home, we obviously it's different for everybody. We don't have a blanket statement. You should keep so much. You know, it depends on how much money you have. It depends on how your feelings are. You know, if you're keeping big cash at home, we also have a conversation with alarm systems, security screen doors, you know, cameras, make sure you have a few dogs. You know, if you have a lot, you have a lot to protect.
You get on Wikipedia. I remember we talked a while back and we were looking at all the lawsuits. You can find all these big banks, and I'm sure you can find them at pretty much any bank. But, you know, the big three are easier targets just because they're so massive. But it's lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. And nobody's just it's fine. I'll just keep my money there. I'll let them keep charging 20% on a credit card while they give me 0.01 or 0.08% in interest at the bank.
Well, and I know that we're getting short on time, and I know people don't like being read to, but guess what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to read you something real quick. This was an insert that I received with my monthly statement. This was from October of 2017. I mean, you know, fast forward 4.5 years, so nothing's changed, but let me read this. It's real short. Withdrawal limitations. This clause may require you to provide the credit union written notice of your intent to make a withdrawal from your account at least 7 calendar days and up to 60 calendar days before you would like to make that withdrawal. The credit union may also limit the amount of cash provided in a withdrawal and may limit larger amounts to be non-cash items. If that doesn't send a chill up your back, I'm not sure what will. I mean, that basically what you're telling me is there may be a bank closing. I mean, really, if I have to give you a week to 2 months notice to get my money, it's not super liquid. And then, you know, what's glaring to me about that snippet? You know, what's missing? The amount. I can see it. If I need $40,000, you know, to buy a car, I can see having to give you notice. You may have to get the money from two branches or whatever. But if I need $14 for a hamburger, really, you may have to give me a cashier's check and I may have to give you 2 months notice.
So, what are these cash-like subs, like the cash-like stuff? What are they talking about?
Yeah, cashier's check, official check. Don't worry, your money's good.
But then how do you have as, so they're going to give you a check to take to another bank to cash out? Like, how do you get that cash? They're just...
You are doing exactly what I'm trying to do here. You are questioning this process, which is our whole goal in being proactive. So let's end the doom and gloom. Let's, you know, we have next week to keep going to scare people.
But we've got solutions for you. We give you all this doom and gloom. We do have solutions. We will get to those someday, maybe. If we get through all the doom and gloom, then maybe in a couple of weeks, months, maybe we'll get into actual solutions. But in the meantime, if you need solutions for your personal finances, reach out to us. We can be found at rochfordfinancial.com or just give us a call. If you want to hear our beautiful voices, you know, over the phone, reach out at 623-523-0444. The number again is 623-523-0444. And thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest if any exist. Investment advisory services offered through Ridge Capital Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor. Ridge Capital Advisors and Rochford & Associates are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through Ridge Capital but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.